and that's right here in the field.
Solid craft.
Wow.
And then, is it familiar? Corral? We're looking right up
to Silver City.
Yep.
Wow. Millennium Falcon.
Exactly. It's about the closest thing to it. And this was one of the most surprising things that we recorded right after I purchased the ranch, was this image. And again, according to all of the flight data for the Uinta Basin and Utah during that day, there was no other commercial or private flight traffic. Here's another craft that was captured over the ranch. We've been recording both seismic and infrasonic activity in the area. One thing we found from our infrasonic studies, there are unexplained signals. Our chief scientist, it's like nothing he's ever recorded, the patterns that he's found on the ranch. What I am most interested in is what is so unique about this property? Why is this the center of gravity for the unexplained, all sorts of high strangeness? And how far back?
Then the Bigfoot came down from the Utah mountains and disassembled.
And then Iron Maiden was cool too, man. Fucking Iron Maiden, man.
Oh yeah, by the way, I really liked Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden rules, man.
Son of a bitch.
That was like one of my worst fails of all time,
Oh
bro.
No, we're going to turn the fail into a fucking whale of a tale.
A little whale of a tale, if you will. Or.
So, okay, last week, talked about cattle mutilations, right?
Yes, sir.
So this is kind of a segue. We kind of left it up on a little bit of a
cliffhanger
where we talked about the UFO / paranormal aspects of it. We didn't really touch that much of it. Mm-hmm. One of the stories I did tell you guys that I brought up was about a rancher that had cows that looked like they were being chased, and all of a sudden the cow was gone. Mm-hmm. No drops of blood. It looked like they went from a slow walk to a fast pace. All of a sudden, bam, disappeared. That rancher, do you guys know what his name is?
Yeah, but I want to see if you know.
Yeah, Art. What is Tom?
Tom Gorman. Tom Gorman is the owner of a place called Gorman Ranch, but not as sexy as Skinwalker Ranch. That is the topic for this episode.
Oh, nice.
Not a cool segue, but still.
I think it was cool.
It was kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah.
So, a lot of cattle mutilation in this one. Jacob, you wanted me to start by telling the really famous story?
Yeah, so just to set this up, Skinwalker Ranch is a ranch in near southeast of Ballard, Utah, in Uinta County, Utah. It's about 500 acres, and it's had one hell of a history. Now, the original owners of the ranch, there's not much that's known about them, other than it went vacant for many years until the Sherman family, which Art will be telling you about, took over, where all sorts of shit literally hit the fan.
Literally, well, giant ass fan.
Really
bunch
quickly,
of people excrementing into it.
You guys know what a skinwalker is?
Yeah.
Yes.
So just to lay down a little bit of what skinwalkers are, it's a kind of a Native American witch. Mm-hmm. And
Navajo.
Navajo witch of shapeshifters that cannibalize a lot of times their own relatives and have sex with the corpse of their relatives to take on this power of kind of immortality and shapeshifting abilities, and basically turn into like this kind of strange creature that lives in the night. Mm-hmm. So that's where the name of this ranch comes from. And it's like Baltimore, is that the bad guy from Harry Potter, where people don't really talk about him?
Oh, you can't.
I would relate it to kind of like Gandalf versus Saruman. So in Navajo, culture, you have a healer or medicine man, if you will. It's kind of like a wizard, if you will.
A shaman.
Yeah, a shaman. And each tribe has one of these. Whether it be in the Navajo or the Blackfoot Indians or whatever. And then the opposite of that, the antithesis of that, is the skinwalker, which is a witch. And the skinwalker, it's the actual legend of it is very protected by the people, but what we've learned from it is kind of like, you know, a werewolf tale that, you know, that we have here. You know, like Art said, you know, the person will, you know, shapeshift. And the actual Navajo name for it is Yi Nala Dula Yishi.
Perfect.
And that is spot on. That is exactly spot how on, you dude. Pronounce it.
As your local spiritual guru, I approve.
Yeah, there you go. And what it literally translates into is harmful witch with the ability to shapeshift into, possess, or disguise themselves as an animal. Now, a skinwalker can, you know, take the form of any animal, but it prefers to take the form of, you know, a coyote, which in Navajo culture is a trickster, or a wolf.
Yeah, and the name, which is Jacob.
What? Skinwalker. Or you want me to say it in Navajo?
Yes. Oh my God, that is so sexy and perfect.
You're welcome.
It means goes on all four. Like, it translates to goes on all four. And so, yeah, it makes sense that you would go to a coyote or something like that. That would be the most common. One of the things that I found interesting about the Skinwalker legend, as far as the Navajos go, you know, we were talking about like La Llorona a couple of weeks ago. And we were discussing the fact that there is a very specific legend. And that when you encounter La Llorona, it is a very specific outcome. Either you're going to die or you're going to just narrowly escape with your life, but you know that you were on the precipice of death. You know what I mean? With the Skinwalkers, the legends go all over the place. There are full-blown battles between, you know, shaman or Navajo warriors and Skinwalkers. And then there's just little piddly details of children hearing the Skinwalker's voices in the forest or in the desert, you know what I mean? And so there's this huge range of stories, and it really is a mythos that is ingrained in the culture itself, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's kind of strange, and we'll get into the big one, but last week, did we do La Llorona last week?
That was two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
We did cattle mutilations last week.
We did what?
Cattle mutilations.
Oh, true. The segue. Okay. So me and Eric, we didn't really have any background in La Llorona. But strangely enough, just I think last week or 2 weeks ago, I was talking to my sister. And she brought up a story that I've known this story since forever, but I never associated to skinwalkers. So we were staying with our grandma at the time. And it was just me and my two older sisters and my grandma. My parents were on their way to come get us. But, you know, it was just us three. And we heard something in the backyard, right? Something was in the backyard of my grandma's house. She had a pretty big backyard. She had chickens and all these animals, and she was like stereotypical, like Mexican. I told you, like, she butchered animals in the backyard.
She had her own sacrifice altar.
Yeah, she had a big old fucking backyard. So, all of a sudden, yeah, there was a sacrifice altar where we fucking chopped. She made me hold the fucking chicken while I cried myself to sleep. Anyways,
you're trying to sleep while she was cutting? Never mind.
Well, anyways. So there was all this like fucking noises going on in our backyard, and we looked through the window, right? And we see a fucking giant black dog. And then my grandma's like, "Oh no, he's going to kill all my chickens." She starts freaking out, right? So she gets a knife and she's like, "We're going back there." And my oldest sister, she's like, "No, we can't go back there. It's a huge dog. It's going to hurt you, grandma. Like, let's not do this." It's like, "My dad's going to be here any minute now. We'll just wait for him to get here." And she's like, "No, how did it get in the backyard? Like, we have a wooden fence. There's no way. Like, it already broke through. If one dog broke through, then all the ones are going to get in and they're going to kill my chickens. Like, we have to go back there." So this goes on for like a few hours, right? And my sister described it as like a huge dog, like a St. Bernard, huge black dog. Mm-hmm. And then eventually my dad gets there, and then my sister's telling him, like, "Yeah, it's a huge dog. It was making all these noises back there. It sounded like it was knocking all these things down." And so then my dad's like, "All right, whatever. I'm going to grab a shovel and run back there." So he does that. Nothing broken. Nothing tipped over. All the chickens are there. We can't find a freaking paw print on the ground. Nothing, no holes for a dog to get in.
Wow.
To this day, we have no explanation of how that happened. And the funny thing is, my sister was telling my brother-in-law that over dinner, actually on my birthday, I think, she was telling us that story. And I was like, "Do you know what a skinwalker is?" And she's like, "No." And I was like, "Don't Google it." Like, I was just like, "God damn." So anyways, that story will lead us into this story.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the Sherman Ranch, the Skinwalker Ranch. Is it Tom Gorman's family?
Sherman. Oh. Yeah, there's Sherman family. So basically, like I alluded to earlier, you know, the actual ranch was owned originally by somebody else, and there's not much details on it. There's some like people that went back and created stories for these people, but it went vacant for a very long time, and with good reason, because Ballard, Utah, which is like East Utah. I have a lot of family that lives in Utah for whatever godforsaken reason. And it's basically, unless you're in Provo or Salt Lake City, it's a very, very barren land. Like when you drive to like Las Vegas and you see like, you know, these, you know, desolate deserts, it's kind of like what Eastern Utah looks like. And I remember we used to, you know, go dirt biking. You know, my grandpa, you know, had these dirt bikes that he built himself that we used to go out there, and he alluded to, hey, we're gonna go to, you know, we're gonna go dirt biking by Skinwalker Ranch or Sherman Ranch, and so that was my familiarity with it. But originally, this ranch was owned by another family. They left for whatever reason. It was vacant for a very long time, and then the Sherman family took over. And now the father Sherman, he was talking to one of the, because it's right next to the Ute Indian Reservation as well. I believe on all three sides of it. On three sides of it, it's the Ute Indian Ranch. And the father was talking to one of the Indians who worked actually with the water company. And he was saying the land is cursed. He goes, be careful there, you know, as a precursor when they're moving in. Be careful because, you know, this land is cursed because back in the day, you know, before the settlers came, the Navajo and the Utes had a big falling out and a big fight over this land. And the Navajo, you know, eventually they left, but then they cursed the land with the Skinwalker. And ever since then, you know, the land's been pretty crazy. And this is where the story really picks up, is when the Shermans move in there. I believe it was like in 94.
Yeah, it was in the mid-90s. Did you see the things that they had like a clause when they first bought the house? Did you see what one of them was?
Oh, no.
It was like they were not allowed to dig at all.
Yes.
Oh, until, like, they had to get approval from the previous owner before they could dig anything.
And the reason for that, too, is that's how you provoke the Skinwalker, is if you disturb the ground or make any noises. So if you disturb the earth, that will awaken the Skinwalker.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is when they first moved in, there was deadbolts on every door inside the house, inside the main house. Yeah, deadbolts everywhere. So not a lot of paranormal activity right off the bat. And it wasn't until, I don't have the exact date for it, but it was like a cold black night where the, is it the Gorman family? I keep wanting to call them the Sherman family. Is it Gorman or Sherman?
Sherman.
Sherman family. I wrote down Tom Gorman.
That's a city before LA, sir.
Okay. So the Sherman family is, they're hanging out when all of a sudden, the dad, is it Tom Sherman then?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll say it's Tom.
Okay, Tom Sherman. I just realized something. I got my information from Hunt for the Skinwalker, and Hunt for the Skinwalker says that it won't say the real name of the person. They changed it to Gorman. That's why I'm all.
I was gonna say, yeah, Tom Gorman is an American tennis player that was born in '46.
Yeah, I just realized where I got that information. Yeah, Hunt for the Skinwalker changes it because they were like, we don't want to say his real name.
Yeah, he appears to be a fairly successful tennis player, but yeah, tennis. Not
John McEnroe, we'll just say that.
Oh, true. No afro, no nice afro. Okay, so anyways, so I guess he was a very skilled hunter, right? He's actually the first one in the family to spot this giant wolf, like slowly making its way down, very calmly. In fact, the entire family thought, this is a domesticated wolf or dog. They were just like, this is not hostile at all. It's looking at us in a very friendly way. It's just wagging sees us. It looks very smart and domesticated. It's not going to harm us. When all of a sudden it kind of flips its shit and goes after one of the calves and like puts its entire mouth on the calf. That's when the family realizes this is no ordinary dog. This is wolf. This is a fucking like dire wolf sized dog. It's fucking huge. And it has its entire mouth on the head of the calf.
Somebody said, too, that, like, as it was walking on all fours, you know, the dad Sherman, it was about 6 feet tall, that the dog, you know, on all fours, the dog's shoulders were in line with the dad's shoulders. And the dad stood at 6 feet tall. So that gives you some kind of idea how tall the Shermans were saying that how big this dire wolf was. And a dire wolf is a prehistoric wolf that was just this huge version of, you know, even our versions of like a gray wolf. Just to give you some an example, a German Shepherd, you know, there's three different types of German Shepherds, but your average German Shepherd is about 90 pounds.
Boy, girl, and bye.
It's about 90 pounds. It probably stands, you know, waist side, you know, to maybe a 6 foot tall person. A King German Shepherd weighs about, you know, 150 pounds. It might, you know, come up to your belly button on all fours. A gray wolf is going to probably be anywhere from 150 to almost 200 pounds and maybe, you know, below your stomach line or whatever. So that's an idea of it. A dire wolf would, in fact, stand about, you know, shoulder to shoulder with an actual 6 foot tall man.
Yeah, this is the point where the dad starts freaking out. Obviously, you know, he's a cattle rancher. He's going to protect his calf. So he tells his son, go get me my fucking Colt 45. So he goes, grabs the Colt 45. Is it the Colt 45? I see Eric laughing.
I say, like, Colt 45.
Give me the Colt 45. And works. Then the child comes back with a beer.
It works. Colt 45 works every time.
So he shows up with the fucking Colt 45, shoots it, does nothing. It doesn't even make a sound. It just does nothing. It just shrugs it off like nothing to a Colt 45. Does it again. Again, nothing. No blood. Nothing's coming off of the dog. Not even a fucking, like, whimper of a sound. Does it again, a third time, nothing. To the dad's like, all right, I'm gonna fucking beat the shit out of this dog with a 2x4. Go get me my other gun. I forgot what other gun.
Shotgun.
It was a shotgun, but it was a specific fucking, it was a 30-06, which is a fucking, like, no joke ass gun. So okay. He's gonna fucking blow it out of existence at this point. The kid shows up and he blows a fucking chunk off its back to the dog, which finally, like, takes a couple of steps back and is like, all right, what's up? Like, the dog again very calmly, and everyone describes it as very calmly, like, this is not a, like, frazzled dog. It seems to very apparently know what it's doing. And I think at this point the dog just starts kind of like saying, like, okay, whatever, I'll be back. When they go to check out the chunk of dog that just blew off, the meat is already rotten, the meat is already decaying. They're just like, what the fuck is this? Like, we literally just shot it off. Like, how is this already, like, decaying and rotting if we just shot him, like, literally just now? And that is the very first story that they have for the Skinwalker Ranch and Sherman Ranch. It kind of put it on the map of many, many, many more.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to call bullshit on the very first part of that story, and only the very first part, because there's no way the Colt 45 did not hurt him, because Colt 45, it works every time.
That's going
Please
on
put that on the Instagram.
Yeah. Thank That's you, Billy D.
That's what I'm saying. Billy D. Williams, he knows what's up.
Yeah,
anyway. That mustache. We don't have American men like that.
It had to have been like a 22 or something like that. There's no way that a Colt 45 wasn't taking damage. It had to be a 22.
Yeah,
I saw it too. It was a 357 Magnum. But irregardless, you know, if you had like a little pea shooter and you're shooting a dog, I mean, they're gonna let go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're gonna, at the very least, you're gonna get a blood splatter. You're gonna see some sort of something is gonna fucking happen. You know what I mean? Even the meth heads in Oildale, you know what I mean, without teeth, they may come into you like a zombie, but they're fucking at least, like, react.
They,
like,
might still, they should still, you know, let out a rah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that it didn't stop there. One of the most pedestrian stories that I saw during the time frame that, you know, the Sherman family were living there was the mom, she would bring in groceries and, you know, start taking, you know, taking them out and trying to put them in the, you know, refrigerator. And then she'd get caught up doing something like, oh, let me go put the detergent, you know, in the laundry room or whatever. And the groceries would be back in the bag. Or, you know, she would, you know, do the same thing, you know, next week, you know, have all the groceries in the bag, and then they would be outside of the bag magically, and she would be the only person there.
There were so many, like, little pedestrian things that were going on. The salt and peppers would switch, doors would just be left open, just very of the traditional, like, Jacob haunted house type of things. Yeah. And you know what the funny thing about all this? So you know where I stand on haunted things. I'm very skeptical to all of this. When I started looking into the Hunt for the Skinwalker thing, I started to think maybe it's not so much a life after death type of thing as much as it is a gateway, like certain hotspots to gateways to another dimension or something like that, where it's like, you know, something that we can't really see or hear, but it's strong enough to, like, move something or fuck with something. And of course, if we were able to go to a different dimension, we would be kind of like in shock by everything, you know. We would be like, oh shit, what is this, and just, like, knock it over. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that's what I specifically think it is, but I am leaning towards that right now, especially with all this research. And, you know, there's some ghost footage I can't really deny. I see it on the internet and I'm like, wow, that's really fucking
crazy.
I can't knock that down and say, like, that's a fucking string.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's things that I'm very like
open to.
Yeah. And then I know you, I don't think you're a liar, so I think, you know, like, there's got to be an explanation for all these things. And I think maybe a gateway to some other dimension is
possibly.
He doesn't think your story is shit. He just thinks you're full of shit is what I'm hearing. That's
well, I just don't necessarily think it's like some ghost or a demon or whatever. But I think that there's something there.
Yeah. Which I think we can get on the same page with, because Some of these things too, again, I was talking to somebody about this earlier in the week, and he was asking me, you know, his opinion on, you know, that exact story about the direwolf. And I was like, you know what, to be perfectly honest with you, it could be a situation too where, you know, it's a story of an exaggeration. You know, maybe dad said, you know, he shot it 3 times, and maybe he missed all 3 times, and, you know, his pride got in the way and said, yeah, I shot him 3 times, and it took me grazing him with a bullet to, you know, with a shotgun, yeah, to get the dog to go away. And then also too, like I said, my mom, she has a King German Shepherd, which is twice the size as one of my German Shepherds, is huge. And, you know, when you hear, you know, my mom's daycare parents, you know, walk away from the house, they're like, oh my God, have you seen Pam's dog? It stands at 7 feet tall and it's about 400 pounds. In all reality, you know, Toby, he stands about stomach size or stomach height to me, and he's about 200 pounds, you know. But it's just that exaggeration when you've never seen anything like that, especially in the wilds of Utah. You know, from my own experience, you know, Utah is a very, like I said, barren land. It's very wild. It's literally the, when you think of the wild, wild west, that's rural Utah right there. And in Ballard, Utah, too, like I said, we used to, around that area, go dirt bike riding out there with my grandpa and my uncle. And you would see, you know, crazy animals out there, you know, large wolves, large coyotes. You would see signs up all the time for, hey, don't feed the wildlife. Like, they're fucking crazy.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because, well, I don't know where you're going with this, but later on, once the ranch gets a new owner, they do start seeing strange wildlife. They see tropical birds there in the middle of the desert, which they can't explain. They see strange spiders that don't belong in the desert. Yeah. But that's a different owner. We should probably backtrack a little bit.
I was just going to say real quick, in regard to like the guns that are used, regardless of what Billy D. Williams says or whatnot, you know, you look at like a 45.
That's Lando to you, sir.
Or a Remington or, what, you know, 22. Or, you know, if you're looking at any sort of rifle or a pistol or whatever the hell, you know, if you're looking at something that's going to fire a single bullet, you know what I mean? Especially if you're at a distance, unless, you know, you're trained or whatnot, there's a good chance that you can miss something. But then if your kid comes out with a shotgun, you know, just spraying with a bunch of salt rock, chances are you're going to hit something. You don't need to be able to aim nearly as precise with the shotgun as you would with
Colt 45.
He did say that each shot he got closer and closer because he was afraid to hit the cattle. So he was pretty close to the point where he picked up like a 2x4 and started hitting it in the back at some point. So it wasn't like he was like from here to down the street. He was like right here from me to Jacob, kind of far.
See, I didn't see that part about being able to hit him with the lumber and all that stuff. So I thought he was still a hefty distance away. Not crazy, but enough that like he might seem bigger than he actually was. And it might be like, I swear to God, I hit him, when you just barely missed him or whatnot. Yeah. You know?
And then wolves are crazy big too. I mean, my German Shepherds are pretty big, and my mom's German Shepherd's pretty big. But when you see like a full-blooded fucking wolf in real life, like those things are scary, like crazy big. But that's not where it ends with the Shermans as well.
Not at all.
You know, there were sightings of Bigfoot-like creatures, the cattle, because Papa Sherman, I don't know what his real first name is here. I should have wrote that down. I apologize.
Just call him Pop him.
Papa Sherman, that's what he is right now. He was raising these beautiful, expensive hybrid cattles. And bulls that, you know, he would, you know, mate, you know, to, you know, sell.
They were studs, yeah.
Yeah. And so he described, I guess, the barn or the shed that, you know, that they would go in, usually could only fit maybe like one or two of them. But something spooked them, you know, crazy one night where like all four of them were, you know, hubbed up into this very small barn or shed. And he said he went out there one night and he saw what looked to be like a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot carrying one of the calves, just like palming it like Shaq would a basketball around its head and dragging it into, you know, the wilderness, you know, outside of the ranch.
There was also a report of a, you know, when Predator turns like fucking clear like water, like he looks like those hot steam waves you see on it.
Yeah.
There was a report of creatures like that, of like those like humanoid looking, just like steam wave looking things, like walking off in the distance and like running really fast, like abnormally fast, and they look like the size of a man.
Wow.
And so like that was one of those things that's like, how the fuck do you explain that? Like, I get it that sometimes you see weird shit, but whenever you see like that much weird shit, like the size of a man, like it's just kind of like running really fast. I think at one point, there's one of the stories, this is almost at the end of the book, they like people from around Utah start hearing about Skinwalker Ranch, right? So like hippies want to get in touch. Like, I don't know if you guys know where Casadega is. Casadega is like this place where all these like hippies go and try to commune with the dead, because they think that that's kind of also a gateway to like the afterworld. So all these hippies start showing up, particularly one of them. He's like hanging out there, he's meditating, when all of a sudden like this one of those like clear liquid looking characters run towards him and start screaming in his face. Yeah. And like, it's just like hard to like explain, you know, like even if it's total bullshit, it's still like a really good story.
Yeah, this, yeah. There's something to be said about, you know, like on a regular basis, if I'm just chilling there alone, you know what I mean? If I'm in my, Elizabeth, she works nights, you know what I mean? And so I'll be chilling in the house watching TV, you know, whatever. And then like, I'll see shit out of the corner of my eye. And it's like, what the fuck was that? The dog and the cat are over here. Fucking what the fuck happened to my right? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like someone, but you know, it's. I don't know. I have a fucking ceiling fan on and it moved a fucking piece of paper or some shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But to say that you are looking full blown, you are looking dead, just, oh shit. What the fuck was that? I don't even fucking know. I was looking, like me.
Ugly motherfucker.
If I'm looking dead ahead at something, the way that I'm looking right into Art's beautiful, gorgeous, dead brown eyes, and to say, like, I could just see just a fucking. Oh, clear, wavy motherfucker? Like, what the fuck is that? I can't explain that. Like, I can't say that that's just a trick of the light or whatever the hell. If I see it running towards me and yelling and shit, like, that's unless, you know, there's a lot of, you know, illicit drugs that these guys are using out there in the middle of the desert, which is, I mean, possible. Potential. You know what yeah. I mean? It's not unheard of, but.
Peyote. So at this point, you know, we do have to get into, so I don't know if you guys are ready. So the next owner comes in, right? This, mm-hmm. It makes it to the Deseret. What's the newspaper it makes it onto? It's a
women's... Oh, the Utah...
The Utah Deseret...
News, yeah.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, there was also a bunch of UFO sightings, and I guess that place had had a history of UFO sightings, like when the Spanish came to colonize. Mm-hmm. I guess they would see, like, lights up in the sky and, you know, unexplained orbs and black triangles during this time. And it just, like, for... It had a reputation before the Shermans for, you know, occasional sightings like yeah. that.
Well, if we're going to backtrack a little bit, one of the things that the Sherman family did see more than once were, I wrote it down because it was like, I really like the way they phrased it. It was orange structures. So they saw orange structures in the sky, right? And one of the things about the Tom Sherman, what's his real name?
Sherman? Papa Sherman.
Papa Sherman. We're going with Papa Sherman.
Yeah,
Papa Sherman said that sometimes they can look into those orange structures and it would look like a different sky was inside of them. Mm-hmm. So it would be like the sun was setting over here, but it was like a clear day inside of those orange structures.
Kind
of
like a Doctor Strange, like when he does those.
That's
weird
what I was thing. Thinking too. Doctor Strange's thing is even orange as well. So yeah. He was kind of describing them like that, like these weird portals. And then as you would go to a different angle, it would just look like a little poof of nothing in the sky, of like just one of those little orange clouds you would see anywhere.
Yeah.
And in one story, I don't know if Eric's going to talk about it.
No, you go ahead.
But yeah, like something came out of those portals and there was like these orbs too that came out. And then it was like almost like a vehicle, they said. That was.
Yeah,
like,
it was also like this orange thing that was coming straight out and all of a sudden just poof.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the vehicles that they saw, you know, kind of was like, you know, a UFO or a flying saucer. And they said that they described, you know, it was a windowed... saucer, and that they could see individuals in there talking and what they described as like native, or we'll say German. Like, I thought it was a weird mashup of languages that they described it. So, but I know for sure like native, and then they said German as well. And they said that, you know, there was little people in there that didn't look of this world. He didn't specifically say like grays or anything like that. But then the main one that was, you know, doing the most of the communication stood almost at 7 feet tall. And that, like Art said, you know, it would come straight toward him and then just disappear.
I found actually a list of a bunch of different creatures and creatures and entities and whatnot that have shown up on Skinwalker Ranch.
That's a long list.
It's a long list. And you know what? Fucking skinwalkers aren't on there. Bigfoot, chupacabras, fucking like none of that stuff's actually on this list. This is all the other stuff. And two of the things. When you first said like an orange disc, they have what's called the orange football, and it appears to be some sort of oh my God, vehicle. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, that was crazy. Like some sort of vehicle about 10 to 15 feet, 10 to 15 feet wide, you know, it's in the shape of a football. It's orange with kind of red flames coming off of it, and it's floating around like it appears to be some sort of completely silent spaceship. Mm-hmm. The other thing, one of the other things it made me think of was what is being referred to as the portal, and it is basically just this wormhole looking thing where if you look at it from one side, it's just kind of like, all right, just maybe like this hazy, like maybe some sort of like you see radiation coming off of it, almost like, you know, if you're driving down a straight road on a hot day and you're seeing the heat waves coming off of the road, you know what I mean? You're seeing some sort of radiation like that coming off of the side, but then you move just a little bit and yeah, you're seeing complete day. You're seeing complete daylight, you know what I mean? And this is supposed to be able to actually brighten up the entire sky of wherever the portal appears for a solid 10 to 15 seconds. And the theory is that the portal is not necessarily like creating any sort of light of its own. It's just opening up, and on the other side of the portal, it's fucking daytime.
Like a wormhole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wherever the fuck that is, it's daytime. So the radiation from that particular star, because it's not like it's from the other side of the world. You know, it's not somewhere where it's actually daylight.
China.
It is from somewhere completely different.
Japan.
Somewhere off world. Somewhere off world, another dimension. That we're seeing in, and it's theorized that first of all, that's what we're seeing, all that why it's getting so bright, you know what I mean, because we are looking at a star. And also it's theorized that a lot of these creatures are quote unquote alien creatures that are not, you know, little green men or, you know, the tall grays or whatever getting here by spaceship, but they're just, you know, either whether it be by actual intent, they have the purpose, or they just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this portal opens up underneath them, and they're just falling through from this other planet, this other dimension.
One of the ones that I thought was not scary at all, but at the same time, that's what made it scary, was that they saw like these. They said that it either looked like a refrigerator or like a giant block of tofu just flying, like no sound, nothing.
That's powdered toast, man.
It was just like, what the fuck? Like, I feel like that's the kind of shit where you don't make up, because it's like, that's the most boring thing you can see.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, that is fucking creepy. Weird. Like, if we saw a giant, like, block of tofu just flying and then disappear, that might be the scariest shit I've ever seen.
Someone had just been playing, like, one of the unlockable characters from Resident Evil 2, which is tofu. Yeah. And then they just.
That's what I thought of, too. You know, I was like, what the fuck? A giant block of tofu, or they referred to it as a giant refrigerator, like, white refrigerator.
And Eric brought up a good point, too, like about, you know, drugs. And I was thinking in my mind, I was trying to reason it out. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, because, you know, in desert areas like peyote grows out there. There's a lot of hallucinogens that grow out there. Magic mushrooms. They had a cattle ranch. That's where magic mushrooms come from, is from cow shit. And so I was thinking, okay, maybe, you know, they had an addiction to, you know, magic mushrooms. Yeah, I'm surprised.
They grow on poop?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Under cow patties, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right, so if you see a cow patty, look underneath, and you might find a little surprise.
I'm surprised of the three of us here right now. I'm surprised you're the one who didn't know that.
Hey, man, I just drink. That's
so anyway. I was thinking something like that. But what got me is animals, like Art said, you know, with my, you know, haunted house story from when I was a child, animals are very cognizant of, you know, in my opinion, evil and strange things.
Yeah.
And so they would, the Ballards, the Shermans, you know, they described that, you know, that they had, you know, cattle dogs and they had cats as well, and they would freak out. And one story was the dogs, you know, they were chasing something, you know, out, you know, outside, you know, by the cattle, and they kept running and running and running and running. And then eventually they just heard like a art collectively, and it was these three dogs, and they didn't see the dogs anymore. And then when, you know, Papa Sherman went out to go look for them the next day, all he found was like these, like, it was like melted butter. Basically where these dogs were. And then he just saw like a, you know, a series of, you know, crop circles.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's crazy too, because, okay, that's something, okay, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, it's something in the drinking water, you know, maybe, you know, the natives are fucking with, because the natives, you know, they were, you know, working for the water company. I was like, well, maybe they're just putting, you know, hallucinogens in their water and fucking with them. This part of Utah, you know, you're going to see comets and, you know, falling stars in the skies. You know, maybe that's what they saw. You know, the black triangles, you know, that they were talking about. You know, maybe that was just the government working on, you know, the stealth bomber, which my grandpa was actually working on at the time for not Boeing, but what's the other one? The other aircraft company?
Oh, The one that's involved in this?
Yeah. yeah. So anyways, he was yeah, yeah. He was actually employed with that. And yeah, I remember my grandpa talking about that. Like, yeah, we would test, you know, the, you know, many stealth bombers out there in the desert. And that's the reason why they moved to Utah from Southern California, was because he was offered a job to work on the stealth bomber. And so that explained that. But I was just like, okay, wait a minute. How do you explain, you know, the animals freaking out? Like, that's one thing that it's just like, okay, you don't just make up on that. And then they find them, and the dogs, it's just a pile of like fur and like melted butter. That's crazy to me.
You know, okay, so are you guys ready to go on to
the
farm getting sold off?
So the stories keep piling up. And then what Art was alluding to, the Deseret News, there was a guy who used to write columns for the name George Knapp, who is a famous, you know, journalist who wins all these Peabody Awards and whatnot. And he's from Las Vegas. And Art, I'll let you take over from there.
Well, based out of Las Vegas is Mr. Bigelow, Mr. Robert Bigelow, who is a... What's the place that he owns? He owns some fucking...
Budget Inn.
Yeah, Budget Inn. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to give him a late shout-out. Apparently, his birthday's on May 14th. Uh-huh. Mr. Robert Bigelow, so a little bit of a late birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. Bigelow, and thank you for making this, or at least part of this, possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he hears about this shit, right? He hears about it, and he has...
From George Knapp, yeah, his articles.
He hears about it from George Knapp, and he's like, holy shit, that is really interesting. And I think he flies out, like, literally the same day. He goes over there, and he's like, I want to take a look at this land. And he makes an offer the very, like, the day he gets there. He's like, I want to buy your land. I forgot the, do you have the exact number?
$200,000.
Yeah.
Which was less than the Shermans bought it for.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He actually comes up and makes a profit off
but
it.
But the
Bigelow Aerospace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Wait.
No,
he eventually opens up Bigelow Aerospace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, during this time period, fun fact was anytime that, so once he makes a deal with the U.S. government where he gets $22 million to do his research project there, all unidentified flying objects get reported to him as opposed to getting reported to any other
agency.
They go to Bigelow Airspace, which I thought was really interesting. At this point, he's like working like hand in hand with the U.S. government.
And he opens up the facility, an actual place called NIDS, the National Institute for Discovery Science. And that, you know, their whole purpose was to scientifically, you know, like Eric would do, explain, you know, all these, yep, you know, paranormal and, you know, extraterrestrial phenomena. You know, it was to put, you know, to give some kind of, you know, scientific explanation for it, you know. And
yeah, he's quoted as saying, we don't study aliens, we study anomalies. They're the same thing in a lot of people's minds, but not in our minds. So he's not saying, like, we believe that there's, you know, there are others out there and we're trying to find them. And, like, no, something is fucking going on here that we can't explain. Mm-hmm. Is it otherworldly? Is it, you know, is it paranormal? Is it magic? Is it just a trick of the light? Fucking, we are here to study the anomalies.
Mm-hmm. And during this time period, a hotline is set up and an email is set up as well. And they get 5,000 calls and emails. You know, that's, I don't know the exact numbers altogether, but they said it was around 5,000 emails of, you know, the things that were going on, you know, the possible UFOs, the lights in the sky, the portals. And a lot of what they would say it was either to be found to be, you know, missile tests or meteors or falling stars, basically.
You know, one other thing that we didn't touch on, but both of them see them, both the Sherman family and Bigelow see a weird big-tailed fox creature. And it reminded me of fucking Pokemon. Was it Ninetales from Pokemon?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they keep seeing this, like, fox with a giant tail, and they're just like, what the fuck is that?
And you know what you brought up, too, to do a little backtracking as well, is I remember during the cattle mutilation episode, I don't know if we made it on tape or not, but you said that there was a lot of these things were happening, you know, with the cattle mutilations were happening downstream or downwind from, like, nuclear test sites or, you know, nuclear facilities or, you know, testing facilities, if you will. And that got me thinking, too, you know, because we were talking about, like, how maybe the chupacabra, you know, is the result, you know, of nuclear testing or nuclear fallout or nuclear waste or whatever. What if those crazy animals that they were seeing were, you know, actual, you know, wildlife, you know, wild coyotes or wild foxes or whatever that were, you know, HBO's got Chernobyl, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. And the Chernobyl, you know, earthworm is this huge ass worm. What if this fox was a result of that?
Yeah.
Especially when they are saying that they're, you know, a lot of what people see are missile tests or meteors. You know what I mean? Who knows? Depending on specifically the missiles, and whatever the payload is on that, and wherever the fuck that is going, or whatever the tests are, that could have effect on local wildlife.
Yeah.
You know what? Speaking of catamutilations, really quickly, my coworker was talking to me about how he thinks PETA might be behind a lot of the catamutilations because it's kind of like this, let's kill a couple of them to save a bunch of them. Where, like, if you look at PETA's, like, Instagram, and I added them. I actually added PETA because he told me that. I was like, that's really interesting. A lot of what they're doing are taking pictures of cattle and saying, like, you know how on, like, on jeans they have a little patch on the back? Mm-hmm. And it says, like, is it worth killing a cow to put that little patch on your back? And they have, like, a cattle mutilation picture. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, it was, like, literally, like, if you Google cattle mutilation and you Google what PETA's posting on their Instagram, it's, like, the exact same thing.
Wow.
It's fucking trippy.
That's a good. That could be a good.
Yeah. I never even thought about that, but I was like, "Oh, that's interesting."
A greater good kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so NIDS operates from, you know, basically when he takes over the ranch in the mid '90s, about 95, and then it closes in 2004 due to, you know, they're not able to find, you know, any kind of proof, you know, that they're looking for. I guess.
Well, okay, but there were more cattle mutilations going on. In fact, one of the strangest cattle mutilations happens during this time where. All of a sudden, they hear animals going crazy, and they're like, "What's going on in the animals? Let's go check on them." And when they go check on them, what's it called when it's a mom cow? We'll just call it a mom cow.
A mama cow.
Mom cow has like
mama cow. Sherman, a mama cow
has like injured legs. Like all four of its legs are injured. It's having trouble walking, and the smaller calf is like blown and scooped out. All its organs are missing, and its legs are just like open like a fucking crab.
Oh, I did see there was I did see a story about that specifically where. A couple of ranchers tagged the calf. They tagged a calf that was only a few days old, walked away. There's a big commotion. Come back like 45 minutes later, and the calf is just completely eviscerated.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a very clean manner with
no blood.
Left. Yeah. But yeah, just totally fucking just sliced from top to bottom and just emptied out.
Their recording equipment starts like malfunctioning.
Mm-hmm.
Different things will start disappearing. And at this point, they start coming to this. Different scientists come up with different conclusions, but the one that I keep hearing a lot of them is that whatever it is, it's pretty smart, and it knows that it's being investigated. And some of the scientists hear voices in their head at this point. Like, they start tripping out, and they're like...
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Where there's, like, that whole, like, we're watching you, we're watching you, we're watching you, and they're, like, freaking out, and they test the water. You brought a peyote, and you brought all these things up. So they test the water, they test the soil, and they're just like, there's nothing here. There's nothing that would make us trip out. Like, why are we hearing this? We're watching you thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts getting pretty trippy at this point because, you know, they're trying to investigate it, but there's nothing there. It reminded me of the hum. We brought up the hum last time where, like, you hear it, but there's nothing there. There's nothing to record. All the audio equipment we have, all the things that all the science that we know can't seem to hear it, but we hear it, like, in our consciousness, in the back of our mind. It makes our hair stand up the way a cat would freak out or something like that.
And... It closes in 2004 because they say that they didn't find anything. But
it gets sold again.
Yeah, it gets sold, you know, to a private, you know, company called Animantium Real Estate Group. Now, any nerd out there, or anybody that's familiar with Wolverine knows Animantium is a metal alloy that was found, you know, on a meteor that was used later on to, you know, bond to Wolverine's skeleton, you know, basically made his skeleton, you know, this indestructible metal. I remember
that from the history books.
Wolverine, yeah. Wolverine, Sabretooth. Early stories have Captain America's shield being made out of adamantium before Marvel lost the rights to him and it became Vibrium, which is found in Wakanda.
Which also comes from a meteor. Yep. But, you know, this is just, you know, fictional, you know, history.
Allegedly fictional.
But I think it's cute.
It is a bunch of nerds getting together at this point.
Yeah.
And that's one of the issues that pops up with NIDS. NIDS is very divided. Because, you know, like me and Jacob have different opinions. Like, Jacob's going ghost. Some people in NIDS are going, this is ghost. Some people are saying, this is things from other dimensions. And if Eric's like, these are people from outer space. NIDS starts arguing amongst themselves, going like, no, we're not even on the same page with this. Mm-hmm. So NIDS starts to kind of fall apart around this time period as well.
Yeah, and if you look at NIDS, and the fact of the matter is, you know, like you said, Jacob, they got a lot of money actually from the government. As a matter of fact, there's even rumors of Harry Reid, you know, who's actually from the
senator Nevada.
From Nevada. But, yeah. You know, him pushing, you know, earmarking bills for funding to go... to not just NIDS, but like to other organizations looking at Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, Bigelow actually convinced Harry Reid to implement what's called the Launch Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, which ran from 2007 to 2012, which basically studied UFOs.
Right.
This is like the leader of the Democratic Party actually implementing this.
Right. And then before that, it wasn't necessarily earmarked explicitly by Harry Reid, but the Department of Defense was putting a lot of money towards NIDS. They were given that this was a government-funded contractor. And so we've, like I brought up last episode, a lot of the stuff that we say the government is doing, the research that the government is doing, you know, these studies, these, you know, whatnot, in reality, the government is contracting out and funding this work to independent labs. And this is a lot of what was happening. So a lot, like you were saying, Art, a lot of, you know, UFO sightings were going directly to NIDS. You know, a lot of paranormal abnormalities, as it were,
going right were to being Bigelow.
Reported right to Bigelow and right to NIDS. And as such, they are the final step. And so NIDS said they didn't find a whole lot of evidence, which is funny to me because there's no one for NIDS to turn evidence into. They are
the authority.
The authority that they sanctioned and paid for by the government to actually look into this stuff. So, you know, there's a couple of books that come out by Bigelow and other individuals that were within the NIDS organization. And so they talk about how, you know, they found this, they found that, evidence of so-and-so, evidence of such-and-such, but they couldn't find anything that, you know, was really able to be explained scientifically with what they knew. But at no point did any of this evidence, at least that I could find, at no point did any of this evidence make it out to independent labs. At no point was there stuff that NIDS found and then sent somewhere else to get tested, because NIDS was the organization that was doing all that testing. They were the ones that were doing all of that fact-finding and all that reporting.
And I was watching, I'm sorry, Art. I was watching Joe Rogan.
I was like, wait, why? Why are you apologizing?
It's Joe Rogan had a show on Sci-Fi Channel called Joe Rogan. I forgot the exact name of it, but Joe Rogan, you know, basically.
Joe Rogan Does America, yeah.
Yeah. God damn it. But basically, you know, he would go out and, you know, look for Bigfoot and whatnot. Or he was looking for UFOs on this this episode. And they actually land on Skinwalker Ranch. They go to Skinwalker Ranch and they, you know, tour it. Nothing happens. And then they actually talk to us somebody that actually worked for NIDS, who actually works for NASA now, and he starts asking him all these questions, like, hey, you know, when you were working for NIDS, like, what did you see? And, you know, he would say, yeah, I saw a lot of crazy shit. And he goes, I saw, you know, at one point, you know, he was talking about, you know, like, our equipment would go haywire, I would hear voices. And he said at one point on camera, we actually caught, you know, an unidentified flying object. And Rogan's like, well, where's all this evidence at? Because the whole premise of the episode is try to prove, hey, aliens and UFOs exist. You know, Rogan wants hard evidence. And the guy is like, well, it does exist. And he goes, well, where is it at? And he goes, it's in the storerooms that Robert Bigelow owns. And he goes, and they'll never get it because NASA keeps funding him, you know, for these other projects. You know, he makes now with Bigelow Aerospace, he makes, you know, these little compartments, you know, that you put out into space where people can live at, because ultimately he wants to create a bunch of budget inns out in outer space. So he's like the Elon Musk before Elon Musk. But it made me think. I was like, did NIDS really get shut down because of the lack of proof, or did they find a bunch of stuff? And to subvert the fucking public, maybe what they did is like, all right, we'll sell it to Animantian Real Estate Group.
Which sounds like the most made up fucking thing.
Yeah, because it's cute. It's a cute name because it's like Wolverine, the Skinwalker, which is a wolf basically. That's cute. And so maybe what I'm thinking is, okay, maybe NIDS really did find something. They morphed into Bigelow Airspace, you know, where they're making compartments, you know, for people to live out into space. There's actually a couple of them on the International Space Station that were designed by Bigelow and his corporation. What if they're paying him, they're funding him for all this stuff, and it's basically their way of saying, oh, you found all this stuff? Well, we'll just keep funding you forever and ever, you know, to keep silent on all this because we can't have the general public. And whatever you find and you study or whatever, we can use it to our advantage to make these, you know, rooms and pods that go out into, you know, space for that people can live into. So it's very interesting stuff because I always land on the why. Why would they do this? Why would they do this? We got documented laws on the record books that show that, hey, Senator Harry Reid approved all of this. You know what I'm saying? And this, we're talking about the leader of basically of the, he was the Chuck Schumer basically during this time period that was allowing all this to happen, giving all this money to happen. We alluded to this during the moonwalking, the moon landing episode, that NASA's, you know, they have a certain amount of budget. Bigelow Aerospace is getting their funding directly from NASA. These people that were working for NIDS now work for NASA. That's a good way to shut people up pay them well, and then you don't got to worry about it.
We saw it in fucking, I had a thought and I lost it. Art, go ahead.
Oh, no, nothing. The only thing I thought was really interesting is, did you guys see anything about like who owns it now? Like what individual person might own it?
I saw that people don't know.
I thought it was still Adamantium.
Well, yeah, but like there's like a kind of like a shadow group that works behind. Who was at
the head of Adamantium?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know that there's like a caretaker that lives there that takes care of it. And
there's still full on like crews that work in there. Like they're doing something in there, but it is way more secretive than it was before.
Yeah, there's like roadblocks. You know, they even, you know, like you see like on these people on YouTube try to go there and stuff. Joe Rogan try to go there, and it's weird because it's literally in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. And then what they did is this is super illegal. You're not allowed to do this. They put a gate on the road that leads to the actual front gate.
Yeah.
So it's basically if we were to put, you know, on Hollywood Boulevard, we were to gate off Hollywood Boulevard with our own gate that, in, you know, no trespassing signs, which is there was like 200 of them or whatever. If we were to put, you know, on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, our own gate or whatever and say no trespassing, you know, basically for 3 or 4 miles, that's super illegal as fuck. And then all these concrete road barriers leading up to the front gate and then another couple of gates in front of it. So that's crazy on top of that. And then what they have now too is they have a bunch of ex-military snipers all around the compound. Basically for what? You look at the actual ranch, and when you look at it, it's basically like a little janky-ass farmhouse and a bunch of like free-grazing cattle.
I do think it's strange that for somewhere where they technically didn't find anything, they sure doubled down on like, hey, let's fucking add more security. Yeah. And there's like little areas. Apparently, there's little areas where like people can get close to it or whatever. There's like a lake nearby, and so like they let people get close by there. But I'm pretty sure if they're letting people go by there, they might not just think like, "Well, there's nothing there." So we'll let people like think like they're getting close to us by letting them have that little area there. But yeah, main roads are very highly secured. There's the
cameras.
There's like all this shit. You just can't get near there. The cameras, the snipers, everything near there. But I was gonna say like. Two of the people that people think that might be behind also, you know, in the celebrity world is Robbie Williams.
The British singer?
The British singer that has that cool-ass video where he, like, tears his skin off. Oh. By the way, that's, like, one of the dopest videos. I can't
name. I forgot about that completely.
Yeah, I love that song just because that video is so fucking trippy. That's the only song I know from him. And also Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Because he's, like, all about that shit.
I know Bob Lazar and the work that he was doing at Area 51. Yeah, yeah. I can kind of see it, but at the same time,
I don't think it's them alone. But I think if somebody with money wanted to get involved, and there's someone with money and interest, and also like if you're willing to fund it and get involved in this shit, I can see how Bigelow would be like, okay, let's do this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I mean, to be able to say that we're gonna make it all look great up front, and you know, all of this evidence that we've got. Oh, I'm just gonna be able to keep it for my own private collection, or I'm gonna be able to keep it for. You know, whatever the government eventually does with it. But I mean, you're the guy saying, you're the guy getting all you're the guy getting all the 5,000 calls and emails. You know what I mean? You're the ones that get the reports, and you're the guy that gets to say, oh, they were just missile tests and meteors. You know what I mean? And one of the quotes, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he basically said essentially 150 years ago, meteors didn't exist. That was magic. That was something paranormal and, you know, all that stuff. That shit wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the science, the reality, science is not necessarily caught up to reality. You know what I mean? And so I think it's kind of funny for him to say something like that and then to say that a bunch of shit that is being, it's unexplainable. Oh, it's just a meteor. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You didn't see nothing. That's just, you know, missile. You know
I think it's crazy, though, too. Like, you got, like, it's not just one thing, okay? Like, yeah, you have the cattle mutilations. You have all the classic examples of the cattle
mutilations. We talked about cattle mutilations, and I don't want to say it's easy to debunk those, but you can kind of do it. You can say it's PETA or it's a big beef industry or whatever, you know. But when it's so many of them, when you have to debunk Bigfoot and skinwalkers and chupacabras and fucking orange structures in the sky.
And yeah, like the black triangles and whatnot. And an interesting thing about that, like I was saying that, you know, my grandpa, he helped work because he was an Air Force mechanic, and he would help develop, you know, the stealth bomber. You look at, okay, well, where did they get the technology for that? You know what I'm saying? that's weird. You know, you look at airplanes, you know, previous to that, you know, it's your basic, you know, stereotypical airplane. You know, you get the wings and, you know, the body and whatnot. And then you look at the stealth bomber, and it's basically just like a triangle, a flying triangle, and it has all the classic, you know, flying saucer elements to it. And so going along with, like, the 37th parallel, you know, where there's these secret underground bases where, you know, they're testing, you know, these new, you know, aircrafts and whatnot. And, you know, my grandpa would say, yeah, we do, you know, do tests out there in the desert because, for one, it's less populated. You know, there's less, you know, restricted airspace. Yeah. You know, he goes, yeah, of course you're going to see a lot of, you know, unidentified flying objects. But he's, you know, in his words, he was just like, you know, it's just a lot of, you know, us testing things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. You know, what can we improve upon? You know, like you were saying with, you know, the control and variable with, yeah, you know, exactly, the cattle mutilation with the tongues and whatnot. He said it is a lot of that stuff. But, you know, there is, you know, an element. And I remember it was a weird Christmas. It was the Christmas literally before my grandparents got a divorce. My grandma had these like glamour shots that she, you know, bought for my grandpa, and she had them framed in these really nice frames and whatnot. And, you know, she gave them, you know, some to, you know, my uncle, some to my mom, and then, you know, obviously her husband, you know, like, oh, Bob, you can put this up on your work. And he said something that always kind of stuck with me. He was just like, well, it's not that I don't want to put this up, but we're not allowed at my job to have pictures of our loved ones up, you know, at all. Like, we don't want to have anything that would, you know, associate ourselves with the outside. And I remember for a while, you know, before they got a divorce, like, he was always coming home late. I remember my grandma would talk about, like, I don't know what he's doing. And then we would ask him about work, and he was like, I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until many years later, you know, when I would go on car trips with my grandpa, you know, to, you know, for a while, we would take a drive from Bakersfield all the way up to Salt Lake City, which is a long-ass drive through the desert. And he would start telling me stuff, you know, and I'm like 10, 11 years old. I'm not giving a fuck. I'm just discovering Tupac and, you know, Mariah Carey half nude, you know. I don't give a fuck about all this stuff he's telling me about. But, you know, I'm starting, you like with your story about, you know, the wolf and, you know, your grandma's chickens, you start to realize, like, holy shit, he took us out to Skinwalker Ranch to go dirt bike riding. He was telling us about him working on the stealth bomber on a very super secret, you know, aircraft, you know, in the late 80s, you know, before, you know, the Persian Gulf. He was telling me about, hey, yeah, we would do, you know, secret, you know, testings out there in the desert. There, that explains why he would uproot our family basically from Southern California, the American dream, to buttfuck fucking Salt Lake City, Utah, the outskirts of Salt Lake City, Utah. And I was just like, wow, it makes sense. He was an aircraft mechanic who was in the Air Force.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a perfect area. I mean, you look here in Kern County, you know what I mean? Southeast Kern County, we've got Edwards Air Force Base. In Northeast Kern County, just outside of Ridgecrest, we got China Lake. You know what I mean? I don't think it's technically in Kern County, but it's goddamn close to the border.
It is. We're gonna incorporate it.
And that's it. We have decreed. We have that kind of power on this fucking podcast. You know, but I mean, those are huge desert areas. You know what I mean? That's the perfect place for aerial experiments. You know what I mean? And to try out new aircraft and experiment, that type of thing. And so to do it in an even more remote location than that, somewhere where, you know, Salt Lake City is, I mean, granted, Salt Lake City is not by any stretch of the imagination a Bakersfield or whatever. It's significantly bigger. It's you know, but there's nothing else besides Salt Lake City, really. You know what I mean?
And then Ballard, Utah is literally, it's like, I think, 2 hours out of that. So, yeah. I mean, we don't know we can't see what's happening in, you know, L.A. is like the equivalent of that. Like, we can't see what's going on in L.A., you know what I'm saying? If there was a fireworks show going on, we're not going to see that, you know, from Bakersfield. And it's a very mountainous region as well. So, I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect where they're at.
I know growing up in Tehachapi, we did occasionally get sonic booms from aircrafts that were in Edwards Air Force Base, but that was because they were flying closer to Tehachapi. It's still a good 45-minute drive away. But, you know, these planes are going faster than the speed of sound, and they're coming in our direction, so that's why we heard it. For someplace like, you know, this to go along, you just have to go in the opposite direction. Because, you know, you're just going out into the middle of nowhere, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you might get sonic booms or, you know, whatever the fuck else, but you're not gonna affect anyone.
I do think you bring up the military bases, and I think a couple of weeks ago I messaged you guys that the Nevada Triangle, where it's like there's like a high rate of people that go missing in that little area. And Area 51 is right outside of that Nevada.
Oh, wow.
Triangle. I do think that it is strange. Like, maybe it's not so much just cattle relations, because cattle's, you know, we find them and they're fucking missing an eyeball. One of the things we didn't talk about is that they kept finding cattle that looked like they either had their eye drilled out or their head drilled out. Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit different, with no blood as well on yeah. the Sherman Ranch.
And they said, too, like, with their brains missing, but no, you know, incisions into there to get it. And it reminded me of, like, you know, ancient Egypt, where they would, before they would mummify people, they would remove their brain through their nose.
Yeah, it was like they stuck a Ooh. Fucking straw in their hand, sucked it all out.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And then if speaking of ancient Egypt, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I guess you could say like UFO stuff that intertwines with that as well. I mean, that would make for a good topic, you know, later on down the line. But they talk about that too, like the pyramids, you know, what if it was their way of, communicating with, you know, UFOs or aliens or extraterrestrials and whatnot. And that whole thing too with them, you know, mummifying and removing the brain, you know, through the nose. And then you got the cattle having the same exact procedure being done.
Yeah.
Like 7,000, 10,000 miles away or whatever. Like, that's crazy to me. That's crazy. And I know we're talking about, you know, the terrestrial explanation for these things. Yeah. Like, you know, like the, you know, the Air Force, you know, testing new crafts. But how do you explain those portals? Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Another show I was watching, and it was kind of silly the way they were doing it. And maybe it was a work. I don't know yet. But, you know, Jesse Ventura had his conspiracy show, and they went, you know, he sent his sons down to Skinwalker Ranch.
I actually believe his a lot more than the Joe Rogan one.
Well, Joe Rogan was trying to disprove it. Jesse Ventura was trying to say, you know, trying to prove it. But Jesse Ventura's sons went out there, and it was crazy because they're driving on the road, and all of a sudden, like, their radio signal starts to get messy, and you hear, like, those weird voices, and it's just like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How do you explain that? You know, why would the military fuck with people like that? Like, I don't see any reason. I always land on the why. Why would they do that? You know?
Mm-hmm. It's like when I did see something about those snipers that they were putting out and around, you know what I mean? I was like, mm-hmm. well, are they keeping stuff out or are they keeping stuff in? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like one of those situations. And I do think, what if it's, for whatever reason, we have multiple sources? You know what I mean? So we've talked about, like, aliens, you know what I mean? We've talked about portals that are coming out, you know, the government being involved and all this stuff. Art, you brought up the stories about, like, the individuals, like the fucking predator, the invisible predator, was just mm-hmm. the hazy lines. There is an individual that is known as the Traveler on Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah, he has a name. He is the Traveler. And he's an ancient Native American man that still lives on Skywalker Ridge. He lives on the cliffs. And he's just lives north of the ranch house. And people will say that they see him every now and then. And the idea is that this is an ancient man who lost his family to the Sky Beasts. And the Sky Beasts are beasts that came through portals. Okay. And so now he is seen as a full-blown human. He's speaking some sort of what appears to be some sort of native tongue, or maybe a German tongue, as Jacob said. But you know, he's confused. He seems overall to be, you know, fairly. He's it's safe to be around him. Can't think of the word. But thing is that you can see him like a normal man, but every now and then he starts to become translucent, and you can see through him. And there are times where you can just hear him, and that's all you get. And so, like, there's confusion surrounding him. There is another entity that they believe is the same guy that's called the Dark One. And the Dark One is supposed to be a past resident. Again, potentially the same ancient man as the Traveler. And he's supposed to be just... You can still tell that he's a human, but he's acting completely erratic. He is covered in animal skins. He doesn't speak at all, but he is constantly appears to be trying to scare people away. You know, it's believed that he's sort of a gatekeeper. To what exactly, we're not sure. But he's some sort of a gatekeeper. And so there's this theory. And he also starts to appear translucent at times. You can see him as a full-blown man. You can see him kind of starting to drift away. And then sometimes you just hear him. You can kind of feel his energy. And, you know, you don't hear him talking, but you hear him shuffling around and running around and whatnot. And so there's a couple of theories. One is that the Dark One and the Traveler are the same person, just in two different mm-hmm. timelines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the Traveler has finally gone crazy after eons, you know what I mean? But, I mean, if this is someone, regardless of what he is now, Or if these are two completely different people, the idea is that this is still someone that started off as an individual that lived on this property that lost their family to sky beasts that came out of this portal. So now, if we are taking all of this into account, we're looking at extraterrestrial beings. We're looking at interdimensional beings. We are looking at some sort of a demon or a ghost or a specter from our plane of existence. And then we're tossing in the government for good measure. So, I mean, a lot of people for a lot of different myths have all sorts of backstories and can explain so many different fucking things. But Skinwalker Ranch has so much shit that's going on. So much fucking shit. Portals, fucking cattle mutilation, the traveler, fucking orange footballs, fucking I saw a thing for water babies.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't
water
see that.
Water babies. Yeah, I saw that one. Fucking yeah. Little babies that are drowning in the water.
Like La Llorona.
Yeah, La Llorona. Yeah, and you go to save them, and then the babies will grab you and pull you in and will drown you underwater. And the water babies are not to be confused with Cthulhu Slug. Cthulhu Slug is another being that is seen. That I
saw
is
that one too.
Fucking they don't know much about it, but it appears to be like a snake or an eel, and they think it kind of looks like it maybe ripped off a tentacle of a larger creature, you know, so it's, or maybe it's a baby Cthulhu, you know what I mean? But like, there's so much shit that it's just you almost get whiplash looking around trying to figure out where the fuck is everything coming from. And that's
the biggest cornucopia to me. Like, it was a perfect topic to land at our 100th episode because it incorporates everything we've almost ever talked about except Game of Thrones. But another thing too is the explanations for all these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might maybe not true, but, you know, there's a lot of poltergeist activity in the house. It made me think, you know, a lot of these areas, you know, are, you know, very conservative people live there, right? And they're, you know, they're all about, you know, whether they're right or wrong, you know, they're all about, you know, their religion first, you know? And what if it is, you know, the natives did curse the land, you know? A curse is something evil. And negative energy is going to, you know, feed upon, you know, fear. And these God-fearing people that, you know, if anything bad, a fly lands in, you know, in their water cup or whatever. Oh, it was Satan. You know, that's a form of fear. And fear can only live, you know, if you feed it fear. And what if, you know, all these things, and, you know, Art might not agree with this, but what if all these things are just, you know, evil entities, you know, playing with and messing with, you know, these people? Because, you know, Utah and that whole area is a very hotbed, a very large hotbed, you know, for, you know, the Mormon religion. People went there, you know, for religious freedom, whether you agree with it or not. And so what if it is that, you know, it's, you know, curses, in my opinion, do exist. You know, the original story was that, you know, the Navajo cursed them to, you know, curse them, basically, to make the lands infertile, you know, and all this stuff. And what if it is, you know, a situation where you got, you know, I'll say just Satan, just, you know, just to make it, you know, easier for me to articulate it. You know, what if you got a situation where Satan is using all of these things? He's using the direwolves, he's using the Bigfoots, he's using the portals, he's using, you know, the UFOs and scrambling radio signals and, you know, taking the groceries out of the bag and whatnot to hurt and fuck with these people.
And like, you know, I'm glad you brought up Cthulhu, because in the whole, like, the mythos of Cthulhu, Cthulhu isn't like really a bad guy. He's just going about his day. It's all the shit that is responding. Like, if you see Cthulhu, what is it that happens? You just turn a rock, you die? Just go insane if you see Cthulhu?
I think you go insane.
But it's not really Cthulhu doing that. Like, it's not, you know, like, Cthulhu doesn't care whether you go insane or not. Like, Cthulhu's just doing his thing. Kind of like if we walk outside and it's raining and snails come out and we just step on them, it wasn't my fault. Like, it wasn't, like, my doing. I didn't care about that snail, but I killed it. I think that sometimes people interpret that as evil, and I think that sometimes maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe there is a portal out there, and the thing's just coming through, and whether it's good or bad, it doesn't know any better. It's just coming through, and maybe you interpret it as good, and maybe you interpret it like the hippie that went out there to meditate to try to connect to it. Or the family that was living there before the Shermans. The family there before the Shermans, they seemed to have an okay relationship with it. It didn't seem to be like as malicious as it turned later on.
Yeah, because I couldn't find really any like stories really from there other than like, hey, before you drown, you got to let me know about that shit, you know? Yeah. Which is weird, but I guess, hey, you know, when you go through the Navajo, curse, is like, hey, if you disturb these grounds, you're going to awaken the skinwalker.
And even the Navajos, with the relationship of what a skinwalker is, it's something that you don't acknowledge, you pretend that it's not there, and you kind of live that separate but equal, like, you do your thing, we'll do our thing, and we'll just pretend you don't exist. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about skinwalker. It's not really known for just coming after you for no reason. You're not a Navajo. It doesn't, in the whole Navajo thing, it doesn't seem to attack non-Navajos, but in this one it does. It seems to just go after whoever's there in this land.
And I think too, a lot of it has to do with to try to put a terrestrial spin on it, is, you know, the Navajo don't really share a lot about, you know, the actual skinwalker.
Yeah.
And then a lot of what we know of the skinwalker is just kind of like Western ideals placed upon it, because it sounds a lot like our werewolf story. Yeah. And whatnot, and it just becomes this amalgamation of, you know, different stories.
Yeah, like I said, there's no like La Llorona, where there's very specific, it's like, no, everyone sees I was gonna say Cthulhu, everyone sees the skinwalkers, and, you know, maybe you just see them, maybe you get attacked, maybe a huge battle, but it's like, you know, they're just kind of there, you know what I mean? And immediately what I thought when you said that, I didn't think about that, but yeah, they really, all of these creatures, all of these things, they really, well, the exception of cattle mutilation, everyone's just kind of minding their own business, you know what I mean? Cthulhu was just a kadoodloo, you know what I mean? And that dude is just kind of chilling, you know what I mean? And if this is a curse, you know, one of the things that Elizabeth likes to bring up is, you know, and that I think is kind of cool, is like inventive, like, fuck yous, you know what I mean? Instead of fuck you, it's like, you know, I hope you get a paper cut and then have to squeeze a lemon later today. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like just little shit like that, like annoyances, not major things, but you know what I mean?
Inconveniences.
Right. What if this, because the Navajo put this curse on the land as they were being, you know, run off. Right. Mm. So what if there's some woman, some shaman, somebody, you know what I mean? Some little kid doesn't know, says, I cursed the land and I just wanted to, we gotta go. Grabs a kid, comes in, oh, fuck it, I just cursed you with everything.
Yeah.
And like, well, you're getting everything. You're getting fucking portals. You're getting aliens. You're getting, you know, white man's government. You're getting all sorts of shit. You know what I mean?
Because the whole portal thing is interesting, too. To reference the Nun, I'm not going to Game of Thrones or Joe Rogan this, but to reference the Nun, the whole premise of, you know, the.
Jacob's one of the five people that watched the Nun, by the way.
I love that movie. I don't give a shit.
You dressed up like the Nun for Halloween.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, I guess. But the whole premise of it is that, you know, Satan worshipers. They opened up a portal to hell, and, you know, all sorts of bad shit happened, you know, and then the Catholic Church built a church upon that, you know, to contain it or whatever, and the demons came out of that. And I didn't know this, but doing my research, but that was heavily influenced by Skinwalker Ranch, that maybe that there are portals and gateways to, you know, quote-unquote hell or, you know, Hades or whatever there is out there, and, you know, this is, the government's way of containing it. I was thinking also too of like Stranger Things, like
this reminded me a lot of Stranger Things.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's interesting as well, like where you just see like this big old corporate building, and then you got this portal to the upside down world. You know,
this the whole Stranger Things comparison. You know, like the Skinwalker of like those animals that are just coming through. You know, they don't really know, they're just going through to go through because it's a doorway to something. You know, like if a door. What's that movie, Annihilation? I don't know if you guys ever saw it, but Annihilation is a really good movie if you guys ever get a chance to see it. But it kind of reminds me of that. They start seeing these strange creatures, like, you know, like those birds, those beautiful tropical birds that they just randomly saw. There was nothing malicious behind them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really call them a curse, but it was just there. It was just like, wow, those are not supposed to be here in the desert. Mm-hmm. They're here for some reason.
Yeah, if a portal like opened up underneath us right now and we ended up in some other dimension, like our first instinct is to go, what the fuck is going on, and be freaked out.
But where's after, the bathroom
like,
at?
Right, but like after 2 or 3 days, it's like, well, fuck, we got to find food. We got to figure out something edible. We got to find a source of water. We may have to, you know, we can't just hide out. We have to go out and seek certain things out just to sustain ourselves, you know.
Even like that giant tofu thing. Like the giant tofu thing wasn't there hurting anyone. It was just weird. Mm-hmm. That's what made it so strange, that there was just like a giant block of tofu flying.
Hey, bean curd can be malicious, all right? It was looking to hurt somebody and hurt someone bad.
It's giving them gas for days.
It was trying to fuck up vegans. That's what it was. It was pissed off of vegans.
Goddamn vegans. Do you think they're vegan in the... Oh, they can't be vegan if they're doing cattle mutilation. Never mind.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fucking vegans are fucking up everything for tofu. I hope you feel bad for the soybean curds.
How do you guys feel about this topic? You guys have any personal theories about it besides Satan?
Well, I mean, some form of evil probably. The whole portal thing interests me a lot because I'm like, okay, maybe that could be an explanation of it. Or maybe maybe it's just the perfect storm of explainable occurrences.
Speaking of perfect, these microphones are perfect. Thank you for adjusting my microphone like this. I love this. It sounds great, and I don't have to be hunched over. For me, I'm starting to really believe in like parallel universes or altered dimensions or whatever it may be. I'm starting to really buy into this, especially like looking into this one in particular. And now I'm like finding other ones like that, the Nevada Triangle and things like that. They're just in this region, the 37th parallel and Casadega and things like that. I'm starting to believe that maybe that, in my opinion, that's maybe what it is. Mm-hmm. That there is, you know, we stumbled upon this gateway to something else. We don't know what it is, but let's study it. Let's quarantine it and let's figure it out. Maybe it's like a Stranger Things situation where like the Demogorgon got through, and now it's skinwalking, like eating our fucking cattle, and we need to stop it. And
we need to find a bald little white girl that likes eggs.
Fucking, I don't know what to think about this because there are so many different fucking stories, and like I said, so many different fucking potential origins. You know, everything is so fucking unique, so I don't know where to even begin with that. And my initial thought was to say, well, NIDS is just they're keeping something, or they're trying to they're putting out a whole bunch of bullshit. But a lot of these stories came out even before NIDS took over.
Yeah, all these Native American stories were there before NIDS ever showed up.
All of these
sightings, the Spanish conquerors came over. You know, they had their own stories as well. You know, as well as like even the Mormons had stories about this. You know, which is crazy.
Never mind.
that's another thing.
I think I was talking to my sister about how the Yeti or Bigfoot or whatever is like part of the Book of Mormon. There's like the whole thing about that guy that never died. And he was covered in hair and he just roamed the mountains. And that's in the Book of Mormon where it's just like, that was this creature that just roamed the mountains because it couldn't die. It's just pretty strange stuff that it all ties into this region of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I genuinely have no idea even where to start on what all of this could be. You know what I mean? Just because of how fucked up it all is. You know what I mean?
I'm just glad I live in Bakersfield. That's all I got to say. Shit.
Well, I don't know about all that.
All we got is pollution, meth, and fucking
homeless
people.
Homeless, teen pregnancy, STDs.
Valley fever.
Drinking problems.
But hey, motherfucker, we got John's Burgers.
Yeah.
I told you my complaints about John's Burgers recently, right? With that commercial they fucking pulled out. Get the fuck out of here. Bring Arnold back, man.
Anyways, you should probably tell us that because that's an inside text message joke.
So if you're the John's Burgers thing?
Yeah.
So if you're local here and you're familiar with the John's Burgers restaurant, which I think we're down to two now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We were strong at four at one point, and we were like, you know, four strong. But we're down to two, and they in the 90s, they had these great commercials. Early 90s, or like late 90s, early 2000s, they had these badass commercials.
Come to John's Burgers and get the best burgers in Bakersfield.
This is Arnold, no last name. Come to John's Burgers. he would do that whole thing. Was he governor yet? Or he's right before? Actually, they called it. He did it right before. They were doing his commercials before. So they're taking him. And this is kind of when he's like at a fucking low point in his career because he's not really doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they take the Arnold man.
He was banging maids.
Yeah, he was. Here in Bakersfield, it all ties in together. And so they take his voice and they fucking do those epic-ass commercials that shape my childhood. Now they take a popular voice as well, and they take fucking Donald Trump's voice, and it's just like, I'm Donald, I'm here. I can't do a good Donald, but he's just like, come get the fucking $3.99 breakfast bladder. Blah, blah, blah.
Breakfast bladder?
I don't know. Haggis. He probably does eat some bladders for breakfast, dude.
All right, before we go forward too far, one last little tidbit, one last little fun fact. It has been known as Skinwalker Ranch for forever, right?
Uh-huh.
But really, it's officially the Sherman Ranch, or, you know, whoever owns it. The Adamantium Real Estate LLC, which, again, I think it's funny that a real estate agency bought it, since Bigelow was originally a real estate investor and, what was the brand?
Budget Inn.
Budget Inn. I was going to say Bargain Inn. That's not right. Budget Inn. He was a Budget Inn founder.
I want to stay at one of his hotels, but my girlfriend always books him, and she always books like 5-star shit, and I'm like, damn, never get to stay at one of his hotels.
No, Budget Inn is bullshit.
No, I know. Yeah. I want to stay there.
Oh, okay.
No, she won't fucking stand.
Anyway,
God bless your girlfriend.
Adamantium Real Estate, actually, in 2016, they bought the ranch, and then Skinwalker Ranch was actually filed for a trademark in 2017, and it was approved in 2018. And so up until about a year ago, everyone just called it Skinwalker Ranch. Now that shit is legal, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
You know what's interesting, though, the business aspect of it is the Sherman sold it to Bigelow for $200,000, and then Adamantium Real Estate, I believe they bought it for multi-million dollars. Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the only person that won was fucking Robert Bigelow.
Yep.
The motherfucker who looks like Doctor Strange as well on top of it.
Ooh. Tell your mommy boo too. You got anything else?
Do I have anything else? I don't have anything else. Shout happy 400. Happy 100.
Did you say 400?
Yeah, damn.
400. Just, you know what? I'm going to be gone by then. Just clip that out. Put it there. Happy 400, guys.
100 yeah, episodes of telling your mom and your boo-boo twos. Shout out Elizabeth Jackson. Wow. Shout out Elizabeth Warren.
No, do you guys have anything else? Is that
no, it? That's all I got. I think we ended on a high note.
All right, then there we go. Then please, everybody, go onto the Facebook page. Like the Facebook group. Join the Facebook group. Like, rate, subscribe to the Facebook page itself. You know what I mean? Join the conversation. Give us some fucking topic suggestions. All of that good shit. And then while you're at it, right after that, you can go to YouTube. And you can watch all of the videos that we put up. We do have the stuff on Facebook. We're on Facebook Live right now with shitty audio, but we're on YouTube Live with the good audio. You know what I mean?
That good, good, baby.
With the good hair. You know what I mean? Fucking. Mm-hmm.
Call me Becky, bitch.
So after you're done looking at the videos, then you can find the three of us on Instagram. You can find Art over here at Robots vs. Robots. That is Robots vs. Robots.
Yes, sir.
You can find Jacob over here. He has his own account, but he really is at Art and Jacob Do America on Instagram. And you can find me at EB Castillo the First. That is EB as in Ben Castillo the First with a number one. You can also find me on Twitter at EB Castillo 2. I'm not as active on that. I'm not, you know, but we still, you know, we still do what we're doing. You know what I mean? Fucking.
I saw you like that pornographer's picture online. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See, that's the thing about Twitter. It puts you on blast, man. You can't, like, secretly like something. Like, yeah. it, Eric Castillo just liked a picture of Luna Lane spreading her butt cheeks.
And speaking of, send me nudes. Send me nudes. Send Art video of Shapiro stuttering. Send Jacob all your hate mail. You can also send us anything you want at artandjacobdoamerica@gmail.com. You can also find after you have like slid into all of our DMs, after you have sent us an email, after you've watched everything on YouTube, after you checked out the Facebook, after you joined the group, sent a meme, sent a suggestion, go to your podcatcher of choice and like, rate, subscribe.
That part.
You know what I mean? You know, come back. We're starting a revolution over here. You know what I mean? We've been starting the revolution. Hope you all catch up. You know, join in on all that.
Puede.
Then after you're done with all of that, go to notdeadyetapparel.com. You can get some sweet swag. I've got my cap right here. Fucking notdeadyetapparel.com. They do a lot of good stuff for charitable organizations. They do a lot of stuff towards cancer research, breast cancer research, and human trafficking awareness. You know, depending on what clothing line to go through, you can get your regular streetwear there. You can get your caps. You can get your water bottles, stickers. You can also get a bunch of Brazilian jiu-jitsu gear, spats, rash guards, patches, and whatnot. After you're done there, after you put all this stuff in your cart, you use code EB Castillo at checkout to get 10% off. That's EB as in Ben Castillo to get 10% off at notdeadyetapparel.com.
And a pube razor.
And then after that, you can go to fightbackcbd.com or find them at fightbackcbd on Instagram or Facebook. And you can check out some of the best fucking 100% organic, 100% THC free, totally legal in all of the lower 48 and Hawaii and Alaska as well. CBD, they have a daytime formula. They have a nighttime formula with chamomile, lavender, and fucking melatonin.
I love it.
They have just started coming out with vape cartridges for your CBD needs, and they have actually just come out with a rash guard that is a collaboration with Immortal Choke, another great Instagram to check out. I was on their Patreon forever. My doodle on Instagram is an Immortal Choke doodle of me.
You should have him do like a little like Art and Jacob.
Oh, that'd be fucking dope. I think he does. I think he does fucking. What the fuck is it called? When we pay him for shit.
Paid artwork?
Commissions?
Commissions, that's the word. There it is. But anyway, you come back, you go to Fightback CBD, you get some high quality made in the USA, made in Texas CBD oil, which is tested by independent third party and otherwise completely unrelated to the original organization laboratories.
So you can suck on that, USADA.
And Fightback CBD also supports mental health awareness. They support Brazilian jiu-jitsu athletes, MMA athletes, wrestlers. They just all around support some good shit. They support us. And what else, you know, what else? What other convincing do you fucking need? You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know what I mean? We appreciate you guys listening for this long. I think that's all I got right now. You know what I mean? Thank you all to everybody. Thank you, Elizabeth Jackman. Thank you, Elizabeth Warren. Thank you to everybody that listened, everyone that sent in stuff, everyone that will send in stuff. Hint, hint.
Yes.
I'm a size A2 in jujitsu geese. Just saying.
I just wear a large t-shirt.
And yeah.
Send me cool shirts.
There you go.
And Iron Maiden's pretty cool too.
Yes. Fuck yeah. And with that said, everybody, have a good night.
Good night.
Be good out there.
When I'm walking a dark road, I am a man.